When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ding, ding.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoons.
And that's the bottom line.
Check it out.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
There is no other. There is no equal. And all American, they're going to say.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Well, here we are coming to you live from the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. Thought maybe we'd hear a little Cavaliers call there, Kenny.
Cavaliers and Guardians, because yesterday, think about it, this place was going crazy as we're at Progressive Field today, but yesterday we were over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Cavaliers game 7 a winner. Guardians, they wrap up their series with the Angels a winner thanks to a couple of bombs, some home runs. So good day to be back down here. Nice day for baseball, and we're talking about victories yesterday.
Well, for you, you might be back down here. I'm up here, and I should have stayed up here overnight after the Cavaliers' thrilling come-from-behind victory last night, Game 7, and a Game 7 that you finally win a series where, well, we haven't won a series without LeBron James since, what, 1993?
My son was 1 year old the last time the Cavaliers. He's 32, right? So he was. I told him that today. I was talking on my drive into Progressive Field today. I said, do you realize the last time the Cavaliers won a playoff series without LeBron, you were one, 1993.
It's a thrilling come-from-behind victory, and I got to tell you, if anybody watched that game or you were at the game, I don't know how you wanted to stay there past halftime, but that being said, it's the first time in NBA history a team comes back from being down 10 points to win by more than 10 points at the end of the game. And what a tale of two halves.
Oh, boy. JT, they set another. I don't know what it is with the Cavaliers and playoff records where they go from the depths of despair to setting all-time NBA records. They're down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors in 2016. They become the first team to rally back and win an NBA championship down 3-1. They're down 18 points in the second quarter yesterday, and they come all the way back to win. They're the first team to ever win a Game 7 after being down 18 points.
How many times do I have to tell you? It's from the movie The Best of Times. It's the depths of lethargy.
Lethargy.
You got to come back and win that game. I'll tell you what it is.
What?
Orlando's not that good. They can't shoot, Kenny.
No, but they're athletic and they're long, and it took the Cavaliers six games and two quarters to figure it out. They finally blew them out in that third quarter yesterday. What was it? They outscored them 63-41 in the second half, 33-15 in the third quarter to take a 10-point deficit at halftime and turn it into an 8-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
A new study in Japan found that watching sports boosts your mental health and generally makes us happier human beings. That's a story I'm going to read you when we sprinkle the infield.
All right,
well, I got news for you. Nobody's ever been through a game and watched me during one of those games because I got news for you. Had I been at home, there would have been a brick through my television. Yeah. I would have yelled every word imaginable. That can't be good for mental health.
Dude, there were enough bricks from the Cavaliers shooters in that first half. You could have built another.
To rebuild Progressive Field.
Exactly. You could have built the offices here at Progressive Field. The only guy to make a three in the first half, and he did it in the final 4 minutes coming off the bench, was Sam Merrill. Everybody else went over 9 from three-point range.
And there again goes back into the J.B. Bickerstaff. Now, during the game, when they do the announcements, spattering of boos came out for J.B. before the game. But at the end of the game, you win a series, you win a game, come from behind fashion. Maybe it shouldn't have taken 7. But it's hard to second guess when you win, isn't it?
Well, what do we hear? Survive and advance, you don't care how, right? And they had never done that before, that team. So I'm fine with it taking 7 games, and maybe, you know, if we're looking glass half full, maybe forced to go to a 7th game, down 18, come back and win will pay dividends down the road when you're facing a disadvantage or a bad situation like that. And you can say, hey, remember when we were down 18 in Game 7, it was do or die, and we came back and won by 12. So
you can nitpick all you want. When you watch a team like the Cavaliers, the fact remains this. That team has played inconsistently since before the All-Star break. Now, you can look at it and say, is it coaching? Is it the matchup problem? Is it a rotation? Is the offense really moving? Does the ball just stagnant? Maybe it's all of the above, but at the end of the day, I believe, like you just said, when you win Game 7 of a 7-game series, it tests your mental fortitude, it tests how tough you really are, and it shows that you can respond. And we really saw a young team in Orlando that couldn't respond. Now, one of the things we said before this series was, shouldn't they be us last year?
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that we weren't us last year.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And would we be saying, okay, you got blown out at Orlando in a game that you think you might have gone down there and stole one. You didn't do it. You let that team off the hook. Luckily, you were able to respond and test yourself and come back from an 18-point deficit. That was a great win yesterday. I didn't see it happening, especially after that first quarter.
No, I was sitting there, starting to think about questions I was going to ask J.B. Bickerstaff about whether or not he thought he was going to be back next year as the coach of this team. That was, and to your point, and it's a great one, consistently inconsistent. Yesterday's game was a microcosm of the season, was it not?
No question.
The first half they stunk. Second half they kicked ass. And you just didn't know which team was going to show up game in and game out this year. And there was one team that showed up in the first half, and there was another team that showed up in the second
half.
Kenny,
that's what resembled what the Cavaliers did in the regular season, because I told you after the blowout loss, they just stopped playing. And we didn't see that in a regular season. Why you would pick a game in the playoffs to really not try to come back. Now, you might say, okay, yeah, but you were down by 42, 43.
Right.
Heads up, what, 38-point loss? But the fact remains, this team never gave up during the regular season. Why they chose to give up in a game in the playoffs is beyond me. And you may have thought that the same thing was going to happen yesterday, but it didn't. They were able to respond. And like you said, maybe it's part of that little infusion of, hey, here's a Sam Merrill off the bench hitting down two threes, and we couldn't hit the ocean.
And I got to give credit to a guy I do not like, Caris LeVert. I talked with a member of the Cavs hierarchy yesterday. Just leave it like that. All right. And I said, you know what? I know what I'm going to get. Playoff Spida is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. 89 points the last two games. You have a good feel that you're going to get 25 or more from Donovan Mitchell in these last three games. So you knew you were going to get that. But you didn't know what you're going to get from DG. Jared Allen wasn't playing. Max Strus. But you needed the others, as Chuck and Kenny and Shaq call them, right? You needed the others to step up. And we agreed on this. Marcus Morris won them one game coming off the bench. Caris LeVert won them yesterday's game. Because you expected a game like that from Donovan Mitchell. He scored 50. 39's no big deal to him, right? You needed somebody else. And it was Caris LeVert who made shots, who played defense, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, made plays. And if you can get that from Caris LeVert, 3 out of 7 games, that's going to help you win at least 2 games. Mm-hmm. But the problem is he did it 1 out of 7 in this past series, and it was yesterday. Now, thank goodness it happened yesterday, or they would have lost, in my opinion. So I give him credit for finding a way to find his game and getting a rhythm and help them win yesterday.
Well, you finally had a supporting cast that really did what they're supposed to do, and that's support your leader.
Yeah.
The Robin to the Batman, so to speak.
Right.
Max Strus gives you 13. Caris LeVert, 15. Darius Garland, albeit he didn't play that great, hit a dagger 3 towards the end of that game that really sealed the victory, in my opinion. He gives you 12 points. Now, you start considering Darius Garland, you expect a little bit more. Kenny, he's a max player. He's supposed to give you more than 12 points. I'm sorry. But that's why you had to rely on the supporting cast of others. Thank goodness they were able to respond.
They did. And I don't know, again, if you're asking me, put me on the spot right now, who's winning the Celtics series, Boston in 6? That's my initial thought. I could see a gentleman's sweep as well. But here's the thing. With Boston, game 1 is the one you can steal. They're rusty. They're thinking, okay, yeah, see, we blew that one against Miami. We're back. We're out. And we beat Cleveland 2 out of 3 in the regular season. We had a 22-point lead on them in the other game.
Right.
And we let them back in. So this, no, steal game one. But here's the problem, and Donovan Mitchell said this to me and all the media members yesterday. We haven't done anything yet, right?
Right.
We haven't won. He said, since I've been here, we haven't won a road game in the playoffs.
Right.
They are 0-5 in road games with Donovan there. And as the head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, counting the play-in game, they're 0-6,
right?
So they've got, in order to win this series against Boston, because they don't have home court advantage like they did in the Magic series, they have to win at least one game on the road to win the series.
Therein lies another problem. Boston, the best shooting team in the league. Cavaliers shot 28% from three against Orlando. I don't think they can have another bad series like that shooting-wise, and I don't think they will, because I haven't watched a lot of Boston because most of their games have been blowouts. Yeah. They've had the best record in the league for the most part all of the season.
Yeah.
But the thing that we do know is this. I don't think they're as physical defensively. They can't be as long without Porzingis as Orlando. So the Cavaliers should shoot better at three.
You would think so. Makes total sense. And I, as crazy as this is going to sound, I think the Cavaliers would rather play the Celtics in the second round than the Knicks. I just think they feel they match up better, finesse teams. Now, they went out, and who's the point guard? Out of sight, out of mind. Who's the point guard they picked up this past offseason, boss? They got rid of Smart.
Drew Holiday.
Okay. Now, he's a physical point guard, so he's going to be just like Suggs on Darius Garland. So Darius is going to get beat up again this series, right? He just is. After that, though, right, there's not the physicality from the other guys, especially with Porzingis, his length not being in there probably in this series. I think they felt, you know what, we match up better against Boston than we do anybody else with our, finesse-style play. Let's go toe-to-toe with them, and if they have an off-night shooting, which they like to jack up 45 threes a game, we can steal a game.
Unless Orlando's just not that good. And it goes back to no Jared Allen.
Yeah.
You won 2 out of 3 games without him, right?
How about that? That's a credit to the Cavaliers, right?
Unless Orlando's not that good. And I'm, you know what, Kenny? I hate to say it, but I'm kind of leaning that way. I hope the Cavaliers can respond, because if they don't shoot better, obviously you're not going to win.
No,
right?
You could get swept.
But I don't know where the offense is going to come from, because that offense was so stagnant. There was no movement whatsoever in that first quarter. When you go back, and I know you recorded the game, and I was able to rewatch it last night, and we'll tell you why you didn't in a few minutes, and we all understand why, because it's a big talk of the nation today, is that Tom Brady rules. But I did go back and watch it. And I watched in the second half, and I wanted to see midway through or past the midway part in the second quarter, can the Cavs get it to 10 by halftime?
Right.
And they did. And the ball was moving. And you'll see the rotation. And I'm thinking to myself, JB, where has this been for the other 6.5 games?
And why was the ball moving? Who wasn't in there when the ball was moving and they cut an 18-point lead down to 10. Darius Garland with foul trouble on the bench. Donovan Mitchell running the point. Sam Merrill, Georgie Niang, Donovan Mitchell, and who else was in there? Caris LeVert and Tristan Thompson were in the game at that point.
You say foul trouble. I say panic mode on J.B. Bickerstaff. He had to go to different
desperation.
Guys. Desperation.
Okay.
Every now and then we do get desperate.
Yes, they were desperate yesterday. They had to do something, and it worked. Give him credit. It worked. And I said, hey, you got to start Sam Merrill to start the second half. And you know who agreed with me? Larry Nance. I talked with Larry at halftime yesterday. He was at the game, and he's like, they should have been setting screens for Sam Merrill every time down the floor when somebody's hot like that, get him the basketball. And I'm like, they should start him the second half. He goes, I don't see why not. Now, he didn't. He stuck with Isaac Okoro. And let's give, and we haven't mentioned his name, let's give Isaac Okoro some love today. And again, I'm not a huge Okoro fan, but I like him in the role that he is now normally in. And that's the 6th, 7th, or 8th man on this team. He had to start because J.A. Was out yesterday. He gives you 33 minutes. 8 points, 3 rebounds, but he had the highest plus-minus of any player on the floor yesterday. They were a plus 24 when Okoro was on the floor, meaning his defense on Banchero and Wagner or whoever he was guarding at the time was top-notch.
Absolutely.
So that is his role, right? Go in, be a pain-in-the-ass defender, drive to the basket, you know they're going to leave him wide open to shoot threes, and he was 0 for 2, so that's not I'm sorry, that's not changing anytime soon. But that's his role, and he did his thing yesterday. Your job, as Belichick would say.
We've been hearing it from J.B. Bickerstaff for the last couple of years. He's done everything we've asked him to do, especially when it comes to being the defensive stopper on the other team's best player. So we've got more time to discuss Cavalier basketball. We are broadcasting live today from Progressive Field. The Guardians about to take on the Detroit Tigers. We'll tell you all about that, but we've also got to get to this because it is a Monday. If you missed it.
Did you miss again? Here are the weekend headlines that you have missed.
Saturday's Kentucky Derby was the closest finish since 1996. It's a photo finish. Show that Mystic Dan at 17-1 shot when the race began was able to nose out Sierra Leon and Forever Young. It proves, like I told you, you never know what you're going to get from these three-year-olds, Kenny.
18-1 odds, dude. Paid very nicely and literally won by, that's like you and me racing and you and I leaning forward to the finish line with our noses to try and win the race.
Your favorite, Fierceness, finished 15 out of 20. Wagering on this year's Derby was a record-setting $210.7 million.
Yeah, way to go, Ernie Abu. Thanks for telling us about Fierceness.
You can't blame that one on Ernie. Everybody had that favorite. They might have had this favorite, too, in NASCAR.
What happened yesterday?
The winner of the Advent Health 400.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kyle Larson, followed by Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr. come in fourth. I just like saying Martin Truex Jr.
Supposedly, that was as close of a finish as the Kentucky Derby was. Yes.
The race was held at Kansas Speedway, Kansas City, Missouri.
Missouri.
In case you're wondering.
Missouri.
NBA Conference semis are over the weekend. The Mavs eliminated the Clippers. Minnesota stole home court advantage from the Nuggets Saturday, 106-99. Yesterday, as we know, the Cavaliers completed the greatest comeback in a Game 7 in the history of the NBA. And they win that game 106-94 over Orlando, who might not be that good.
Come on, just give them some love. They won the damn series. First time since 1993 LeBron James.
Try not to get swept in Boston.
I'm usually the negative guy.
7:30 tonight, tip-off, Indiana Pacers at New York Knicks. Knicks favored by 5.5. That game on TNT, Kenny.
And Charles Bronson marathon right after the ball game. Don't miss it here on TNT.
That's game one, Minnesota Timberwolves at Denver Nuggets. Denver, a 5.5-point favorite again on TNT. Minnesota, as we told you, leads that best of 7-1 games tonight. Minnesota's a team to look out for, bro.
Denver ain't losing 2 in a row at home. Woo! I like the Nuggets tonight on the money line, and I like the Knicks on the money line tonight, which I may put a few bucks on later.
NHL playoffs, which, again, I haven't watched one puck drop.
Okay.
Vancouver sent Nashville back to Broadway Street. That's a big streak with all the bars.
That's well put.
Boston knocked out Toronto on Saturday.
Yes, way to go, Bruins.
Dallas eliminated Vegas yesterday. One game tonight, the Bruins at Florida Panthers. Game one, 8 o'clock puck drop on ESPN.
Go Boston. I've got that parlay going, baby. Celtics, Bruins winning championships. Going to pay nice.
Top five movies at the box office over the weekend. The Fall Guys, your new number one movie.
Fall Guy. That's Jake Gyllenhaal. Something like that.
Followed by Star Wars, A Phantom Menace. What? Star Wars again? Is that all? May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, they re-released something. Yeah, whatever.
Challengers with Zendaya's the number 3 movie, Tarot Cards.
Pam.
Godzilla's number 5.
Okay, there you go.
I've been to a movie that I can
Fall Guy. I want to see that. Emily Blunt's in that, I believe, as well, with Jake Gyllenhaal. I like Emily
Blunt. Missed it. Tom Brady was roasted last night by Kevin Hart, Nikki Glaser, Rob Gronkowski, Peyton Manning, Bill Belichick, and more. I missed it. How was it?
I am still speechless this morning with how vulgar and politically incorrect it was. And everybody was that way. And people were laughing their asses off, accepting it because they knew that going in that it was a roast and it was going to be that way. You've got to watch. You have to watch it.
A three-hour roast?
It didn't seem like 3 hours. And it was live. This was live on Netflix. And Kevin Hart was your host, and Jeff Ross, the roast man. Nikki Glaser killed it yesterday, and some other comedians, I don't even know who they were hysterical. And Brady was pretty good at the end, too.
So if Tom Brady gets roasted for 3 hours, who's next? Will there be a next, or was it too, I guess, damning?
We're going to find out. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be some blowback to Netflix. How do they respond to it? It will tell us whether or not they do another
one. That's why it's a pay-per-view, basically. Yep. Get what you pay for. If you missed it, what did the Guardians do over the weekend?
Yes.
Blanked by the Angels Friday night, 6-0. Bounced back over the weekend series, and they win it against L.A. Saturday and Sunday, 7-1, 4-1, respectively. Bad news for the Guards. Steven Kwan tweaked his hammy.
Yeah.
We think, I don't know if it's official, that he's going to go on at least a 10-day IL.
He'll be out for a while, and you and I get an opportunity.
Oh,
we
hold
think,
on now. The
right?
good news could be this. Kyle Manzardo gets called up. We might see him tonight.
We were here for Gavin Williams' first ever Major Black League
hat.
A game.
Didn't do anything.
Bo
Naylor didn't get a hit because you were here. Now we get Kyle Manzardo. Now we get the blank Kyle Manzardo.
You ready for this?
Thanks, Kenny.
You ready for this?
What?
If Manzardo gets called up today and he plays, he hits a home run today, just to shut you up,
can we get
you
that
can
on
never say I'm a black
your,
cat.
One of your sports apps, can we put that in now?
I'm going to bet on that if I can. Sure.
Now you're caught up to date. If you missed it, we'll get a break in. It's the Kenny and JT Show, broadcasting live from Progressive Field today.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.
JT again to let you know about the Power by Lease specials available right now at Progressive Chevy in Maslin. Lease a new 2024 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for $239 a month for 24 months. Or lease a new 2024 Trailblazer LT, only $219 a month. Not a fan of SUVs? You're in luck with a great Power by Lease offer on a new 2024 Chevy Malibu RS, only $259 a month. Savings continue for you truck lovers. Lease a new 2024 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4, only $328 a month, again, 24 months. Visit ProgressiveChevrolet.com to learn more about their May Power by specials. Hurry over to Progressive Chevrolet in Maslin, because with savings like this, when they're gone, they are gone.
The Boatman and JT on 1480 WHBC.